So let me just break the ice and say welcome to the first podcast with Linda and Luke. So Linda is living in LA, USA, and I'm in Canada in Gatineau near the capital of Ottawa. So Linda, what happened in the States this year? Or this week, actually, I should say. Anything interesting?
Well, as you know, there was an election that just happened. Probably
No.
the big probably the biggest election that all the eyes of the world were looking upon, to actually anxiously waiting what the results would be. And as of today, so the election was November 3rd, now it's November 8th. And on November 7th, which was yesterday morning, many news networks announced that the winner of the presidential race was Joe Biden. Now, this is actually before there has been official results that have gone out. Many states were still counting, votes with very close races. For instance, Georgia will be convening a recount because of how close the results were. And, there's no, so since they're still counting, there isn't official results, and this is premature. And there's a lot of indication of this being an actual unfair election, which is something that maybe we can get into a little bit in this discussion.
Yes, so an election with a lot of irregularities. We know that a lot is riding on this election. We have seen the last 4 years have been basically a waste of time because nothing was really achieved other than talking about a Russia collusion scandal, which ended up being a non-scandal. So, do you know what Trump is potentially out to do if he's going to be reelected? I mean, why? Well, first of all, why weren't the Democrats able to get a real candidate? It seems like Joe Biden was not really the usual candidate people are used to. Like he wasn't really campaigning. I don't know if you want to talk about that.
Well, I mean, it's a useful discussion because the obviously there's lots of Democrats that would have been actually good contenders against Donald Trump and maybe would have been able to gain the trust of the American people in this process, but they chose instead Joe Biden, who's sort of this as some might describe him, this hologram sort of being beamed in, not a real person, not a real person who's really connecting with the voters or even has a track record of really kind of fighting for the people. And I think what you're seeing is that any real candidates have been cut out because I don't actually even think it's about the candidate. I think it's about a certain Democratic Party machine. I don't even say think you can specify it as specific to the Democratic Party, but more like a certain grouping or wing in the United States that is bent on carrying out a certain policy directive, a certain way that the United States is, or a certain role that the United States is going to play in the world. And that has been really since 9/11. The entire idea of there being a unipolar world where the United States is on top, and the policy that we're going to be carrying out abroad is going to be towards that aim. For instance, the project for the New American Century, the idea of overthrowing all of these governments in the Middle East, and then eventually being able to take or to corner in Russia and weakening Russia. I mean, this is part of one strategy, and they've written about it very clearly. Why would they X out anybody else who could potentially disrupt that? Because it would disrupt that policy. And really, that's what Joe Biden represents, really as a continuation of the Obama administration and also the Bush policy. This is the same policy that they're bringing in here now, if Joe Biden is eventually sworn in as president.
Okay. You said a lot of things here. So let's try to, like, I'm wondering, from the standpoint of a regular voter, do they know? I mean, do they really know what's at stake, you think? I mean, they are for this policy of unipolar government and like a new reorganization of the whole world? Is that what people are supporting, you think?
I think that there are a lot of people who are just not even cognizant. You know, they're doing their best. They're working full-time jobs and have kids and maybe don't have the time to get into the nitty-gritty of the background of all of this. But I think there's a certain number of people who have really just embraced the policy because it's part of what they see as a liberal agenda in a Democratic package. There's a lot of people who completely were against George Bush. He was a Republican. They didn't like the Republican policy or the war, how the war on terror was being carried out. But then when Obama came in, you actually had the same policy. Maybe it was rebranded as helping overthrow dictators and going in and helping the underdog in other countries. But really, it was the continuation of the same policy as what you saw in Libya, as what you saw also what was attempted in Syria, and also the situation you saw unfolding in Ukraine. So I think because then it was in a liberal democratic package, then people who under Bush would have rejected that policy embraced it in a new package, in a new form, under a new narrative. And that's why it really is a lot of this very blind partisanship of just going along with your party and what their policy is very, very dangerous. We have to really examine what is going on, what is the intention, and how this is a continuation of a decades-long policy.
Okay, so this media that is pushing a candidate, we can't say that the media was pushing for Trump. They were attacking him for the last 4 years. But they didn't really have anything to talk about Biden's policy other than a few little tax plans I heard of. I don't really know what is Biden's policy. Do you know?
Well, his policy, the main spirit of his campaign and what he's already announced since he's supposedly elected, is it's all about the Green New Deal, implementing his plan for the coronavirus, ending systemic racism, and maybe something to do with the economy, but it's not very clear on what that would be. So very general terms, and you're seeing a lot of discussion in the media that if there is a recount, if there are contested results, lawsuits that hold up the process of there being a president-elect, that Joe Biden can't go forward with life-saving policies in regards to the coronavirus. This is some of the kind of propaganda that's coming out right now, which is ridiculous. I mean, what's to say Joe Biden's going to do anything to actually alleviate the coronavirus? And really, when you're looking at his policies, I don't actually see real policies that are connecting with the reality of what the American people are dealing with. Like a Green New Deal, how is this going to create jobs over the next 20 to 30 years and growth in the American economy, right? So we're not seeing the concrete examples of how the American people are going to be helped. And frankly, I think that because there isn't an actual agenda to help the American people, I think it is more so the continuation of this global unipolar policy and getting the American people to just accept that. So that, I mean, that's my view of it.
Okay. So before we go too deep, I thought maybe we should maybe explore some of the voter fraud. I mean, at the beginning of our discussion today, we talked about this week's election on Tuesday, and we're still 5-6 days afterwards, or 4-5 days afterwards, and we're still don't have an official results. Yesterday, I think they announced that that Biden was projected to be the winner or the president, but because there's 50 states which have to report, most of them are not causing any issues. But what are some of the states which are contentious or have problems which we may see a reversal of how the votes or how the Electoral College votes are attributed?
Well, I don't know if we'll see a reversal, but I know that there are lawsuits that are happening that are being carried out in three states, in Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. I mentioned there was a recount that was going to be taking place in Georgia. And also keep in mind that there's still thousands of ballots that are currently being counted in many of these states. So whether or not those recounts result in the vote being changed, it's actually a really important process because you want the election results to be seen as widely as possible as legitimate, regardless of who wins. And part of that is this is in our Constitution. This is the rule of law, and it's a very slippery slope when you start to shrug your shoulders and say, well, you know, maybe because my candidate won, I'll be okay, whatever. No, because this will continue. This will go on, and we have to have a process where elections are fair and elections are trusted. So we could see possibly things turn around. We could see decisions that are made in the courts. I really don't know what's going to happen. It is a contentious situation, somewhat, you know, a little bit frightening given the divisions and the types of discord that potentially could arise. But yeah, I mean, we really need to wait and see, like we did back in 2000 when we waited to see if Bush was actually going to be the president after the Florida recount. We do have to wait in this situation and also be patient with the process.
Yes. It seems like it's pretty normal that you would have people in both parties stand for the integrity of an election. And probably we think of elections, we think that people are there, they count the ballots, and maybe they're sitting around a table and they can all look at the ballots. But some of the simple claims are that the observers are not allowed to be close enough to see the counting, so they actually can't see the ballots. So If the Trump campaign is saying that we want to have observers, isn't it weird that the Biden campaign would say that they don't want to allow that?
Yeah, well, the claim is that they weren't, a lot of the local polling places were going by guidelines for social distancing because of COVID-19. However, there were a lot of poll watchers who said they weren't even allowed inside the voting places or not even allowed close enough to be able to see that the results. Some tried to use binoculars. Some were told that they were not allowed to use them. So there's a lot of different types of, you know, lots of things that are coming out. In that case, it's hard to kind of piece together everything that's really happening without really seeing the actual ballots. But I know in every election that I have ever voted in, that it's always the case that you'd always have to show your photo ID at the polling station before you were given your designated ballot and you were able to vote on site. And that's always how it was. And now for the first time, everybody was mass mailed here in California or in Los Angeles County. We were mass mailed a mail-in ballot. And So regardless of whether you were planning to go vote on site or if you're planning to actually use the mail-in ballot, you got that mail-in ballot. You were not required to produce an ID or any identification besides just your signature. It's really doubtful that they're verifying those signatures before they're counting those votes. So really a number of states had this type of situation, and you can see, you really can see the massive potential for fraud in that process, in that you're not identifying, you're not verifying the person who's actually voting. So yeah, so unfortunately that is a situation we have with many states.
Yeah, I mean, there's something also peculiar when you look at the states which are giving the most problems. Apparently, there's an article I found from Pat Nolan. It was published today on some website, and it says that in all of the contested states, the secretaries of state were elected with huge contributions from George Soros. So this is something to follow up on, I guess. It'd be interesting to see if that's actually accurate. But if it is accurate, the secretary of the state is the one which is presiding over the counting of the ballots. And those people would be if the secretary is elected with George Soros money, if that's the case, they would be the ones presiding over the counting of ballots in Arizona, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. So this author is saying, isn't it weird that in all those states, like, the counting stopped at a certain point in the middle of the night or late Tuesday night, I think.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty interesting correlation. I didn't see that article. I didn't see that article, but it is an interesting correlation. I mean, it's worth looking at these things. I think there are a number of different things that if you look at the correlations, they kind of show something besides what you're being told as the official line and the official outcome, you know, just like we see with the Senate and House races in many states that don't correspond to who voted for Biden and who voted for Trump. And it's sort of, it's unprecedented, actually, historically, that would be happening. You can say, I mean, I think a lot of people might be arguing or might try to argue, well, maybe they just didn't like Trump and voted for Biden instead, but were Republicans. But I think it's very, very doubtful that's the case at all.
Yeah, because most of the ballot, or like, they still have to vote for a lot of other choices or different roles and positions in a state. But But sometimes there's no correlation between the trend of somebody voting for Biden. Normally you would expect a certain amount of Democrats in the other positions, but that may not be the case. Is that what's going on? Like, they may still have more ballots that are not voting for the... That's something I didn't understand. I don't know if you looked into that.
Well, just that historically, if you voted for a Republican Senate candidate and a Republican House of Representatives candidate on your ballot, and then you, for president, would typically vote for the Republican presidential candidate. But we are seeing huge discrepancies in that the voter turnout for certain candidates on the Republican side, Republican Senate, or sorry, the House or Senate side, that it doesn't correspond to who voted for Biden or who voted for Trump, right? You see like huge, huge discrepancies of states where there was a huge amount, a huge turnout for Biden in terms of numbers. But then when you compare that to the numbers of how the Senate or House seats were won, there was a great difference. There's like historic difference that wasn't there in past elections. So it's very suspicious to think that, okay, well, so many people who voted Republican in the House and Senate didn't vote Republican for the presidential race.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot of things to follow up, and these things might be very complex to a normal voter. Like, we're not used to the process of counting ballots, but now it looks like we're going to have to acquaint ourselves with a lot of the process of actually, how do you verify that this is actually a legit election? Usually there's a clear winner and you don't really have to ask these questions, but when these elections are as close as they are, we don't even know how easy it is to, like, let's say there is some fraud. Do we know how many fraudulent ballots we're talking about? Are we talking about like 50,000 or like 200,000? Like, does Biden even have a following? I mean, you look at the difference between the rallies that Trump was attracting. He was attracting thousands of people in his crowds, and then Biden was having trouble gathering more than 200 people. And then you compare the people following Trump on Twitter, he's got like 80 million people, and then Biden's got 20 million. I mean, do we really know that Biden has a broad base of voters? I mean, I know there's a lot of people who hate Donald Trump based on what they've been hearing on the media constantly, daily, always showing Trump in a bad light, never showing him for the good things he was doing. So how broad, what's your estimate, your guesstimate of how many people those fraud ballots represent? Like, how many?
I mean, I really don't know how many ballots could be fraudulent. I don't know if anybody could know, really, because of just the massive scale of this operation. There could be situations with the actual electronic voting that may electronic glitches in the system. We know there was one instance where there were thousands of votes that had gone to Biden, which were supposed to go to Trump, and that was corrected in one instance. But we don't know how widespread that is. And that, I mean, that will have to be investigated. And I think a lot of it's going to be.
Oh, the hammer. Was that the hammer and the scorecard program?
Yes. Yeah. There's been a lot coming out on that in the past few days of the electronic glitches in the system, in the voting systems.
From what I've heard, this is like where the precinct or whatever they're counting the ballots, when they send the results, during the transmission, the numbers get changed. And it happens very, very quickly within like a millisecond. So that's potentially very disturbing.
Right, it is. And I think a lot of it is going to come down to if voters in the state are going to actually contest this. Are they going to make, show or come forward with the types of evidence that this is a fraud? Are there going to be any whistleblowers on the inside? It's all really, a lot of it's going to be up to the American people. I know in some cases there's going to be enough for there to be a recount, but in other places there may not. It may come down to, you know, the voters actually contesting things in their particular state. I know it's different state by state in terms of how you can do that or if you can do that. So, I mean, it could be a protracted fight that goes on for a while. And it's unfortunate that it's come down to this. You know, you would hope that there would have been a big enough margin so that there wasn't a contested election or contested results, but that's what it's actually come down to at this point.
Okay, well, I don't know if you've seen this, but it's normal. We would expect that the Republicans to challenge some of the results, especially if the media is going around and saying that Biden is the projected winner and the Republicans think they have a shot at still winning some of these some of these states. So there was a curious video that came out today where there's a Democrat challenging his own party in some of the things he's not comfortable that he has been learning of or hearing about in Georgia. Have you had a chance to see about this video from Vernon Jones?
Yes, I actually did see that. That was Vernon Jones is a state representative in Georgia. And he actually resigned the week before the election because he endorsed Donald Trump. So it was a departure. Okay. So he departed from his own party to endorse Trump. And
so he's no longer actually a Democrat right now. Or he's just no longer representing.
I don't know
as a Democrat.
If he has officially moved, changed parties. I really don't know the details of his status, but I know that he did resign from his position and he did endorse Trump last week. And he's very open about it. And he did go against his party. And of course he got a lot of backlash for that, but he still decided to come out and endorse Trump and actually do what his conscience told him to do.
So it's going to be a nail biter for sure. I mean, the electoral votes, college votes actually don't happen until December 14. Is that it?
That actually is going to
How does that
January.
Work? Okay. So mathematically, at this point, they are showing Biden with 290 electoral votes or something like that. Do you see that Trump actually has the numbers if he changes some of the states, if he flips the states, can he still actually claim the presidency, or is this really out of reach at this point?
So, I mean, it really, like I said, it comes down, I think a lot of it will come down to the American people in a lot of states. I mean, obviously there's going to be lawsuits, but in some states, even if they don't get a close enough margin, the voters actually have to be the one to contest the election and for it to be heard. So it might go to the Supreme Court in some cases. You know, we don't know, but I think everyone should be vigilant. I think people should be concerned, should keep on top of this and really do whatever they can to show just the reality of the situation and how dangerous it is if we have a country where we begin to just shrug our shoulders at potential fraud if it's just not in our particular interest.
Oh, yeah. There is something I just found a note here. There, the case of Pennsylvania is interesting because there was a Supreme Court ruling before the election that said that you had to segregate the votes, the ones that came in. Which one was that? This was... they were late arriving ballots, okay? And the Supreme Court had said that you had to keep them separate. But somehow, this very simple instruction was not followed. So that is one of the reasons why Pennsylvania could be challenged, or at least challenged to a recount, because the Supreme Court ruling... the vote in the Supreme Court was 4-4 in October, but now there's a new Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett, and apparently, if it goes back to them, this will mean that it could go in favor of Trump. Is that something you looked into?
I don't know a lot of specifics about that situation.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's going to be, it seems like in each state, there's like a different point of contention.
Mm-hmm.
But the if it does go to the Supreme Court, it seems like Trump would have the partisan support in his favor.
I mean,
is that a safe thing to say?
I mean, she is new. We don't know how things will go, but yeah, I think it's very much possible.
Yeah, because like we've been used to seeing like splits according to party lines with these judges, at least from what I've seen.
Yeah.
But I think for now, I mean, this was kind of an experiment in the making of trying to take on these basically. Get involved in politics in a new way, and by discussing how do we understand things at this point, and hopefully get a sense to other people who aren't really following this, how to connect the dots between all these different things that are going on. And isn't it interesting how the conversation changes once you leave, the regular talking points of the mainstream media.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you do really have to look at the whole historical arc that you're dealing with, because I think it always comes down to just whatever issues are on the table today. And I think that's something that's very misleading, because if you're not looking past the end of your nose, you're actually missing a lot that's there. So yeah, we do need to kind of have more deeper analysis that I hope can like come more to the forefront, and that I hope there's a lot more people who are breaking with the idea that the mainstream media is the only viable source of information, and that people can know things. And I thought we had an interesting turn in a lot of people breaking from the Democratic Party in the LGBT and Black community in this last election, also in the Latino community, which showed some interesting results. So I hope that really is part of a sea change that we're seeing against the idea of just going along with the prepackaged identity politics that the Democratic Party has been feeding us for all these years.
Yes, perhaps in a subsequent podcast, we can take up some other questions of history, science, other questions to get us thinking how a great people or a great citizenry will need to think if they are to have a future.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be totally up for it. Yeah, anytime. It sounds fun.
Well, thank you very much, Linda, for being with me today. And I wish you a very good day. And hopefully we won't have this situation degenerate too much, and we'll have a quick resolution with a brighter future for the nation, or for the states and Canada.
Thank
why
you.
Not?
I can only hope so.